Kevin?
Yes, sir.
You're my brother, except for this week.
Yes, 2 weeks out of the season. We are not brothers.
We are hated rivals.
We are only podcasting partners.
Yes, there can be only one.
Yes, and it probably won't be the Raiders. that's right, man. Thursday night football, man. Our Raiders and our Chiefs at Oakland.
It is Chiefs Raiders week.
Now, question: what are your color rush uniforms going to look like? Do you know?
I think they're going to be those solid red uniforms again.
Is ours going to be some black one, or what's the deal?
I think you might be going like the all white.
Oh, I don't like those. Besides, we're home game. We shouldn't be all white.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tension filled in the end zone this week, but we promise you we will still bring you mediocre picks and crazy fantasy advice.
I hate Kyle. Hey, what's up, Kyle? You ready? Let's do this.
Let's do this. So, well, Kevin, let's start off with looking back at crazy NFL week 6 because some weird things happened.
Yeah, it's been a weird season, man.
And it's just getting weirder. And I got to start with the fact my beloved Kansas City Chiefs fell from the ranks of the undefeated. But if you remember last week, I was concerned about this game. For some reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had our number for the last couple of years.
I remember that, too. And Pittsburgh coming off that bad, horrible home loss to Jacksonville. I wasn't counting them out. I don't know what happened in that game, but I know what you mean. There's just certain teams that have your team's number that might not be in the division, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Miami's always had the Raiders number. We're playing them again this year. Last time they played, I saw them in London. Had our butts kicked.
Yeah. And the frustrating thing, especially about the last two Pittsburgh wins over Kansas City. Of course, last year's playoffs were Pittsburgh won by kicking 6 field goals and not even scoring a touchdown. And this game where Kansas City almost came back and won, and really for the first time, Andy Reid this season making a coaching decision I didn't understand by not kicking that field goal when they were down by 10. Actually, which if he would have kicked that field goal, gone through, and the way the scoring worked, Kansas City would have been only down by 3 and would have only had to go for a field goal to tie the game and send it into overtime instead of having to go for the touchdown.
Right.
Plus, right. Antonio Brown scoring on a ridiculously lucky touchdown pass.
Now, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, but if you're down by 2 scores and you have the opportunity to kick the field goal, you kick the field goal, right?
Exactly. I mean, I guess Andy Reid was thinking he could get it in the end zone, and if worst case he had him trapped at the 2, which always backfires. You think you've got him trapped, and they always – and it never fails. And I never understand why NFL teams do this. They send a full blitz when they have somebody pinned on the end zone, and it never fails. They find, like, the tight end or the most obscure receiver, and he gets a 30-yard gain to give him all kinds of space. But
I know that feeling. Jeez.
I mean, the frustrating thing was, like I said, Kansas City was in this game till the end, but they just could not stop Le'Veon Bell. Bell had almost 100 yards rushing by halftime.
That's crazy, man.
Jeez. So, but it wasn't – I take solace in this. The rest of the AFC West helped me out a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man, my Raiders are just going down. Lost our 4th game in a row at home against the Chargers. In a tough fought game through the first half. And then, DeVecchio killed us by missing that extra point, which allowed a game tying into overtime scenario go into a game winning scenario because we went from possibly leading by 3 points to 2 points. And all they needed was a field goal, and it killed us.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this because I didn't get to watch a lot of this game, it wasn't shown a lot on Red Zone. How did Derek Carr look?
He was okay, but the defense started to falter. And, you know, our running game had a couple little bright spots. We had a touchdown by Beast Mode, of course. Yeah, it just, you know, I mean, he was okay. And, you know, he didn't show any effects of his back injury, at least none that I could see. Just some questionable coaching decisions. You know, what kept us in our game was, you know, our number seven, you know, punter.
Yeah, he had a good game from what I saw.
Yeah, he had a great game. But Tavecchio missing the extra point hurt us. You know, our defense faltering towards the end there. I tell you again, and I called it. Hunter Henry is our kryptonite, man. That dude just kept getting these first downs and it helped tremendously to getting that game-winning field goal. That dude is just so big. And he was wide open several times. And he was getting like 8 yards, 10 yards, 15-yard gains. It was just killing us. And no one was covering this guy. I don't know if they were, like, having trouble bringing him down, too. They were, like, trying to hit him instead of grab him and drag him to the ground. It was just – it was so frustrating watching the no coverage or really bad tackling on this guy. This guy's going to kill us, man. I swear to God.
Well, you know, we're both feeling down this week. But before we into the
I'm feeling down this week. You're still up at the top of the ranks here, bro. Don't even paint this. Come on, man.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say though, we're both feeling down because we lost. But before we get into the rest of the league and talk about all the craziness, a little business to take care of. Of course, this is the End Zone on the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find us on fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find us on the Podbean app, which I highly recommend. They've really done a good job with that. Of course, we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and if you use an Android device, the Google Play app. Of course, visit our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network, and of course on Twitter at Fan Pod Network. And this is Kyle. You can find me at AKyleW on Twitter or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Where can people find you on social media, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, too, we encourage you to visit our new partner, TeePublic, and visit the Fandom Pod Network store at TeePublic. Soon to be sporting new gear from our newest show, Kevin, Discoville.
Yeah, covering Star Trek Discovery and the Orville.
I am excited. But let's get back to week 6 because the rest of the AFC West actually kind of helped us both out because the New York football Giants finally decided to man up in a football game and went into Denver and beat the Denver Broncos on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I didn't expect that, man. I guess they decided to be men and show up there.
Well, they finally put the men in G-men, apparently. But, I mean, who would have thought that no Beckham, no Brandon Marshall, a banged-up Sterling Shepard, the Giants' offensive line has been a disaster all season. That screamed a Denver blowout.
Another perfect example of their tight end being the number one receiver and being key to making those plays.
Yeah, the rookie Evan Engram stepping up huge for the New York Giants.
Yep.
But just weird happenings all over the place, Kevin. But I got to start with, I think, what was maybe one of the weirdest football games I've seen, and that was the New Orleans Saints-Detroit Lions game.
I didn't see any highlights on that, but I just noticed, man, it's high scoring. What was the deal?
Well, it was just that's what it was. They were just scoring in droves, a ton of crazy defensive touchdowns. Matthew Stafford and Drew Brees put it on an aerial show, and it was hilarious because all the other games were ending, and that game was just going into the fourth quarter because they were scoring so much.
Wow.
So that was insane. Of course, the Deshaun Watson rookie show continued.
Oh, God, that guy's the real deal, man.
Oh, of course, it was Cleveland, but still. We also saw the New England Patriots getting another questionable call in their favor against the New York Jets.
Yeah, what is up with that? That touchdown call called back by the Jets, and that was a touchdown. God,
I've never seen a play like that, and I've never seen a team get more crazy plays.
You know, it's
go
funny,
in their favor.
I heard one of the announcers say, "This has got to be the worst call of all time," and I was laughing, going, "No."
Yeah, Raider fan might debate that one.
Gosh. Oh my gosh, that was just freaking horrible, and that would have that would have made the outcome a lot different. Jeez.
Let's see here. There's another thing, Kevin. Too, the rumors of the Adrian Peterson's death might have been greatly exaggerated. He kind of had a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if the Bucs just felt bad for the old man, or if maybe getting to Arizona where they're actually giving him some chances to carry the football is helping. But
how many touches did he get?
He got over 20.
And he got a touchdown?
Yeah, he got a touchdown, and I think he was over 100 yards rushing too.
Yeah, I was a little leery about the line on that because the Cardinals were playing at home and they were not favored. And I'm like, I don't know. I know they're going to run the ball, and they still got a decent passing game. And so, yeah, I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah. A couple other interesting games. The Rams continuing to show good, strong stuff, beating Jacksonville.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's definitely been showing some bright spots here, especially going into Pittsburgh the previous week and whooping up on them.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, dude, who's doing better now in the rookie running back of the year thing? Leonard Fournette looks like he might be overtaking your buddy there in Kansas City.
Well, it doesn't matter because it might be the Deshaun Watson show before it's all said and done anyway. And, of course, we got to go to another rookie quarterback as the Chicago Bears pull a bit of an upset and take out the Baltimore Ravens, Mitchell Trubisky getting his first NFL win. So congratulations to that young man.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
And we had, at one point this weekend, we had 5 rookie quarterbacks playing.
God, that's so weird. Oh, man.
C.J. Beathard also made his debut for the San Francisco 49ers.
And then I don't remember his name that took over for the injured Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Brett Hundley. He's been in the league for a few years.
Oh, he played been?
Yeah, he played at Cal, but it's Green Bay. When does Aaron Rodgers ever get hurt? Which I guess we should address that now. Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, Packers losing to the Vikings, Case Keenum having another solid game. But, yeah, the big story out of that is Aaron Rodgers, and it looks like he is done for the season with a broken collarbone.
He's broken his collarbone before, and he's come back during the season. Dude.
Yeah, but it was the previous time was his non-throwing shoulder.
Okay, so this is going to be the one that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, then.
Yeah, so you might want to stick the fork in Green Bay because he was definitely carrying them on his shoulders this season.
Yeah. Which means all those receivers that you had on your fantasy league, we'll have to touch on that later, are going to be not tier one anymore.
Yeah, and Minnesota's still in the mix, even with Case Keenum starting. And the rumors are that Sam Bradford's knee is a lot worse than what they're saying, and he might be done for the season.
I just say give it to Case. Let's see what he can do with the team.
Well, we'll get into news, but there was an interesting development about the Minnesota's quarterback situation this week. We'll jump into it because we've kind of covered week 6. I don't think there's really any other crazy stuff to talk about. But piece of news, Teddy Bridgewater returned to Vikings practice this week.
Really?
Now, he's still on the physically unable to perform list, but he's because of how the NFL works, he's got that special exemption, roster exemption, where the Vikings can keep him on the roster for 3 weeks without having to cut a player.
What? How does that work exactly?
If a player is injured and from the previous season and had like a season-ending injury, and they put him on the physically unable to perform list,
the PUP list.
When they changed the rules on the PUP list to where you could have the player come back but not be done for the season, but you were allowed 3 weeks to evaluate him. Basically, they created like this 3-week evaluation period. But the minute you can be on your team, you don't have to cut a player. But if you fully move him to the active roster, then you have to cut a player.
Okay. All right. So they have to make that decision then.
Yeah, and it's, that'll be the question, because Case Keenum was actually playing pretty good football for the Vikings. But there was another thing, too, Kevin. Your Raiders have some possible defensive reinforcements coming in. Did you hear about this?
No. I've been a little depressed of any Raider news right now. I've been kind of in a hole with that, so no.
Oh, what's it, black? Is it a black hole?
Yeah. I'm sorry. When they lost to the Chargers, I just kind of like I. It's kind of a thing. Like you got to kind of just push them aside and wait till next week and kind of dive into it again.
Does the name Navarro Bowman mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Well, last week, the San Francisco 49ers did him a favor, knowing he was in their last year of their contract with them. He wasn't really in their plans, and they, instead of trying to trade him, gave him his outright release. And guess where Mr. Bowman has ended up?
Well, we could definitely use him.
Well, the two things with this. Navarro Bowman, I'll be shocked if he plays much against Kansas City, if at all, because he was just signed on Tuesday. Which technically the day we're recording earlier today, so we'll see how much he plays.
Oh, he'll be playing Thursday night, I'm sure. We need all the help we can get.
We know the last 49ers released linebacker the Raiders signed, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, let's not go there. Jeez.
And of course, again, Aaron Rodgers done for the season. And Kevin, I have not seen a season where more big names have been injured with season-ending injuries. In a long time.
This has been a rough year for marquee players, man.
But and then, of course, there is the great enigma that is Ezekiel Elliott.
So he is going to play one more game till he's suspended?
Well, no. Right now, what has happened, and this has happened about an hour before we went to record, he was able to get a TOS, temporary restraining order, that's going to allow him to continue playing until it is reevaluated again. He might play for the next 2 weeks and be gone. He could play the rest of the season and then face a suspension like Brady did, where he just got it the following season. A lot of people seem to think that's the likely scenario at this point, because the NFL doesn't want to see this drag out and drag out and drag out. But this has just been frustrating. I mean, I have Ezekiel in at least one fantasy league, and I know that, just even for Dallas Cowboy fans, it's been incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, dude, just take your suspension. Just do it. Just do it.
So, but Kevin, shall we talk some power rankings?
Oh, I bet you would love to.
Well, you know, we did lose. The Kansas City Chiefs did lose, but we are still number one on the CBS Sports power rankings. But it's been a shakeup at the top.
Which I think they deserve still. Even though they lost, I still think they deserve it.
Yeah, they lost a close game to a very good football team. But here's kind of the shocker. Did any of us see the Philadelphia Eagles being 5-1 and ranked number 2 in the power rankings?
No. We got to take them seriously now, especially with Carson as their quarterback. And they seem to be working around their running back woes, and they're pulling it together, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, that coming in at number 3, Team Cheat, the New England Patriots.
The Cheatriots, yeah.
Number 4, and even though they lost, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers coming in at number 4.
This is the one I don't get yet. I'm kind of confused about that. But I don't know. We'll see. If they can keep pulling it out in the next couple of weeks without any more losses, they may deserve to be in the top 5. But this one, I don't agree with.
Pittsburgh Steelers jumping up 5 spots, moving up to number 5 in the power rankings.
I think that's deserved.
The Redskins at number 6. I'm not quite sold on that, but this is to a point where we're getting kind of in interesting teams that could go either way. Number 7, the Falcons, coming off a very tough loss to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I was not expecting that loss to happen.
Yeah. Number 8, the Minnesota Vikings, who I think should be up about 6 after their defense is wicked. And if Keenum can keep playing the way he has,
I'm not quite sold on that yet because of the injury to
Cook.
Well, not Cook, but I'm talking about the injury to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, for the Vikings? We're talking the Vikings at number eight, Kevin.
No. I know that, but I mean, who were they playing?
Well, Aaron Rodgers started that game. He was knocked out in about the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the main. I think that was one of the reasons that helped them win, because when you lose your quarterback, it's a blow to the team. And I wouldn't praise them just yet. They won that game because Aaron Rodgers went out early. That's my opinion.
Well, and then rounding out the top 10, the two teams that are battling atop the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks and the very surprising Los Angeles Rams.
I think those are kind of fair.
Now, I am curious about the number 11 team, Kevin. I just want your take on that. The New Orleans Saints in at number 11. The last couple of weeks, they've figured out how to play some defense.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Their defense had, ever since that was the London game, have really kind of shown some, and that's always been their downfall was, their defense. But yeah, they've been kind of stepping it up here. I say though, give it to them. I think that's fine. The Dolphins at 3-2, number 13. You want to see how far the Raiders dropped?
Yeah, I completely disagree with this, by the way.
Number 29.
Yeah, there's no way.
They should be below the Colts,
below the Jets, below the Cardinals, below the Bucks, below the Bengals, below the Titans. There's no way. I'm sorry. They should be at least up in that 20 to 22 range.
Yeah. Jeez, that's so painful though, man.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's painful, but it's a little outrageous on that too. But you know, we've seen that. We've kind of covered week six. We covered some news. Let's take a look ahead, Kevin, because I don't know how much of week seven you're going to be able to watch, as you will be preparing your sword skills and trying to keep your head this weekend at the Highlander Convention in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we have a meet and greet on Thursday night, and I don't know. I think there was a television in that bar. Maybe they'll be on, so I'll have my eye, checking it out if it is.
I've already prearranged for the bar to make sure they have stiff drinks ready for you, Kevin.
The line though is around 3 with the Kansas City favored, and I don't like that line at all. I think Kansas City should be favored by at least 7.
Yeah, I think because it's in Oakland, Derek Carr playing, those are the big things. But there's some really interesting games, I think, on this week's docket. They may not even be that exciting, but I think there's some interesting things here. A couple that stand out to me, Kevin, are Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, because Cincinnati's looked like a different football team since they changed offensive coordinators.
Agreed. Now that's going to be a fun game to watch and a hard fought, I would believe, definitely.
Another interesting game to me is the Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints, because it's going to be interesting to see how Green Bay reacts.
Actually, it's showing or, New Orleans.
Yeah, at Green Bay. Yeah, my mistake. Yeah. Also, I mean, we have a Super Bowl rematch as the Sunday night game. Atlanta's going to New England. And actually, a very good Monday night football game with Washington going to Philly. And we remember what happened. Philly is playing really good football, and Washington gets up and down. But is there anything on the schedule that really stands out for you, Kevin?
Those definitely entertaining. I'm kind of trying to figure out where Buffalo's at. I'm curious because they're at home against Tampa Bay. I think that they're definitely still contenders there. The one that I'm mostly interested in, obviously, is the Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah.
Because let me put it this way. Yes, the Raiders are at the bottom of the AFC West. They've lost 4 in a row. And, most experts will pick Tennessee to win this game. Kansas City to win this game. But, you know, it doesn't matter what the Raiders score is. I mean, we've been bad for so long. If we can just beat the Chiefs, whether it's once a year or whatever, we just love beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you haven't done it in a while.
No, we have not. And
in fact, Derek Carr has, the Kansas City has been a nightmare team for Derek Carr.
I think the last time we won was on a Thursday night. Derek Carr's rookie season, I think it was, and it was raining.
Really crazy game. Yeah. With that one. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I mean, all kidding aside, is this a must win save your season game for the Oakland Raiders?
Well, we said that last week against San Diego.
But you is their season done if they lose this game?
Oh, definitely. Nails in the coffin. The first nail was in last week, losing at home against the Chargers. But yeah, definitely. If they lose to the Chiefs, it's definitely over.
Okay. Now the next question would be: is if they lose this game to Kansas City, is Jack Del Rio starting to feel the hot seat?
No, I think his job is safe. I think, honestly, I think their offensive coordinator might be, and Ken Norton as well, the defensive coordinator. I think Jack will be fine.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be a good game. That's the one thing between Kansas City and Oakland. No matter what their records are, and one of them could be the world beaters, and the other team could have one of the worst records in the league. When those two teams get together, it all goes thrown out the window, and everybody's on the same page. It's just an all-out war. So it's gonna be a good game. Thursday night football has actually been fairly decent so far this season. So the NFL's kind of made up for some of that. But Kevin, I'm feeling the need for a little fantasy football in my life.
How did you do last week with your teams?
It was a little ugly, but I did 1-3 across the board. Jameis Winston going down against Arizona killed me in a couple of leagues.
What's his situation?
He is day-to-day with a shoulder injury, so it's going to probably end up being a game-time decision for him. One of the big things that killed me in our ESPN league was not playing Carson Wentz.
Who did you start instead?
I believe I may have started Jameis in that league because I just felt Carson Wentz against the Arizona or that Carolina defense was just not going to be a good matchup, and it kind of came to bite me.
Yeah.
But however, in another league, Deshaun Watson was beautiful for me.
Is he a must start?
I think going forward, he is a must start, except Houston is on a bye this week. So
he's not a must start this week.
No. But
well, you are on our NFL league. You are in first place at 5-1.
Yes, I was feeling good about the NFL league.
I'm in sixth place at 2-4. Of the three fantasy leagues that I participate, I only won. I think I won one out of the three, which hurt. I just had a bunch of underperformers. ESPN won. I did not. Yeah, I'm in third place on my standings, but you're number one there as well, Rogue Squadron, right?
Yep. Now, but Kevin, let's go back to our NFL league a little bit because not only is it Chief Raiders week, it's Commando Nerd Week.
Oh, we're playing each other as well? Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this is the end of the podcast right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, jeez.
Gosh. Oh. But no, and again, everybody's going to be scrambling for players. There's people who had Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, looking for a quarterback out there, and it's going to be slim pickings. But surprisingly, Kevin, I will say this. I still see Alex Smith available in a lot of leagues.
I've snagged him in the leagues that I could get him in. I start him. I've been starting him. He's in, and it kills me, but I may have to start him over Derek Carr.
Wait, what was that? No, I'm not going to do that to you. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. You're hurting too much. I can feel the pain.
Oh, man, there's so much pain here, I tell you. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you can't play with your heart with fantasy. You got to play the numbers. You got to play the matchups. And I know other people are like, no, I'm going to stick with my team. Like, you go ahead and stick with your team. If your team's, you know, a contender and they have a bunch of good players on there, fine. But if your team is hurting and not doing well, you got to look elsewhere.
I'll tell you too, a couple players for a spot QB start while you're trying to figure out your Aaron Rodgers situation that I know a lot of teams are available in a lot of leagues. Look at Josh McCown or Case Keenum. They are putting up at least solid numbers every week.
Goff, may not be too. Goff too, right?
Yeah, but I've seen Goff picked up in a lot of leagues, but Josh McCown and Case Keenum are available in a lot of leagues. And if you're in an Aaron Rodgers injury situation and not real sure what you have as a backup, those guys have at least put up consistent numbers. May not be the most spectacular, but they've been consistently putting up decent numbers. So a good way to go there. If for some reason Adrian Peterson wasn't picked up after he got traded last week, I'm sure he's being picked up all over the place now.
Oh yeah. I think he got gobbled up last week.
Yeah. Of course, all those people who jumped all over Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris for Dallas, they're all screaming bloody murder yet again, because again, this Ezekiel Elliott situation is absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that backfield unless Ezekiel's playing.
Yeah, it's a mess, and heck, at this point, I figure it's going to be week to week with Ezekiel. We might be going every week. Well, is he suspended or is he not suspended? What's going on? You know, it's bizarro land in the NFL these days. But is there anybody out there that Kevin that you see as somebody who might be a decent waiver wire pickup?
Yeah, the tied into the New York Giants right now, because he's
Evan Ingram.
Yeah, he's the number one receiver, and I picked up that other guy. He was like third or fourth string. Can't remember his name, and he did nothing, absolutely nothing in that win. And he was just kept thrown to Evan Ingram, you know. And so that would be the guy that I would pick.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. We're just getting to that point in fantasy. Let me talk about this a little last week too, Kevin. If you're going to need to make a roster move, a trade is your best bet.
And I noticed a lot of people dropped the Buffalo defense because they had a bye. I recommend picking them up again because with all the other byes that are happening and their byes done, I think they're going to be a decent spot play.
Well, and that too. And they could be facing the mighty Ryan Fitzpatrick this week.
This is true.
But, you know, like I said, fantasy-wise, there's moves to be had, but
you got to be telling something. One of the other hot waiver wire pickups is the wide receiver in Tampa Bay, Adam Humphries. What's your feeling on that since you're local to that area?
I'm not sure, because Tampa is in such a weird situation. The offense just hasn't clicked like people thought it would. Adam Humphries is kind of – the interesting thing about Adam Humphries is that he's their slot receiver, but he's kind of in that a poor man's Julian Edelman is the best way I can describe him.
Right.
But they have Evans, they have DeSean Jackson, they have Cameron Brate, and Winston has shown this. He has a little bit of target lock when it comes to Mike Evans.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the other one I was kind of curious about is Josh Doctson, wide receiver for Washington.
He's been catching touchdowns. He's not seeming to catch a lot of yards, but he does seem to be a touchdown machine.
Is he filling in for someone that got injured, or is he just becoming kind of like the go-to guy?
He's really kind of passed Jamison Crowder on the depth chart for Washington, and it's been playing a lot opposite Terrell Pryor in the Washington offense. Just been weird because, you know, everybody thought Pryor was going to come in and dominate, and he's been fairly quiet, hasn't developed a good chemistry with Kirk Cousins. Of course, Jordan Reed's hurt all the time anymore, and even Jamison Crowder has not. The Washington receivers just have not put up huge numbers this season.
I did want to throw another quarterback out there that I've seen available in a lot of leagues is Andy Dalton. He's putting it together.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I think Jacksonville has another game in London before the season is out. Maybe if that's the case, pick up Sir Blake Bortles for that week.
True. Yes. And I got a question for your team. Another possible pickup is DeAnthony Thomas, your wide receiver. What do you feel about that?
It's hard to say because he's basically Tyreek Hill light is what he is. But
yeah.
But with they lost Chris Conley, who is turning into a pretty good receiver for them. Against the Texans with an Achilles injury. So he's out for the season. Albert Wilson, another one of their receivers, is a little banged up. And Andy Reid has had DeAnthony Thomas for a while on the roster, and he always finds some kind of gimmicky things for him. He's boom or bust, though. He's very much like Tyreek Hill. He's not going to get you – he's either going to get you a big play for a big touchdown, or he's going to get you nothing.
I want to mention two players on the New York Giants team that I'm still not sold on. I picked up Wayne Gallman. And he was a little disappointing last week, thinking that he was going to be leaned on heavily with the loss of Odell and the other receivers. And speaking of receivers, I also picked up that Roger Lewis guy, and it wasn't happening. What the deal is.
Yeah, it's a mess. But it's been a bizarre NFL season. We're almost to the halfway point, Kevin.
Yeah, I know, man. Oh, gosh. all the hopes for a decent Raiders team just thrown out the window right now. Right now, we just got to support them and hope that they can do some upsets and mess up some other team's championship run.
Well, I am having a box of Xanax ready out to be FedExed out to you come Friday morning.
Yeah, that would look, that would be great while I trained with whips and swords with Anthony DeLongis. That would be great.
So I think I got the feeling we've made a few good plays, Kevin, but I think it's time to make that final push.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling it like I'm feeling about Aaron Rodgers, Carl Brown right now. So I'm not going to be throwing no long
ball. All I can see is Hunter Henry right now, and it's killing me.
Well, you know, and get ready for that nice dose of Kareem Hunt. Can you say Travis Kelce the way you guys cover tight ends?
Gosh, man. Yeah. Jeez. That three-point line is a joke right now.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think it's time to say before we send Mr. Reitzel into even a further bout of depression that once again, we will make, unlike Amari Cooper, and catch the ball in the end zone.
Ouch.